Fred Film Radio. Silent Film Festival, Pordenone, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 36th Pordenone Silent Film Festival, Le Giornate del Cinema Muto, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Paolo Cherchiusai. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. How are you doing?
So, as one of the founders of this very festival and the curator of the Canon Revisited section, I think we should talk about a little bit about this section, what it is, what kind of its aim is.
Several years ago, we realized that after so many years of the Pordenone Silent Film Festival, we were addressing a new generation of viewers. These viewers don't have the same kind of history as spectators as we, the founders of the festival, have had. There are classics of cinema which we take for granted, and I do recall that for many years we had decided not to show certain films simply because we felt that these films were too famous, too well known. Why do you want to show the crowd? Why do you want to show Metropolis? Everybody knows these films. But the thing is that there are viewers who have never seen certain major works on the big screen in the best available prints, or if they have seen the classic of cinema, they have seen what we call the usual suspects. But the canon of silent cinema is much wider than that. So about 9 years ago, we came to the conclusion that it was time to dedicate a section of the festival to the rediscovery of these canonical films and to a discussion of these films, because the canonical status of these films is subject to change over the years. There are films that are regarded as masterpieces, or they have been often quoted in textbooks or histories of cinema, but it's time perhaps to give a fresh look to these titles. This is why the Canon Revisited was born as a series, and this is why we are selecting every year a group of films that are really geared at the new generations of viewers of the Giornate. It is a sort of invitation to reassess, rediscover, or maybe discover for the first time these films, so that we can not only watch them together, but reflect about their value so many years after they were originally made.
Right. And so what are the titles featured this year?
Well, among the titles features one is the Crowd, King Vidor, which is perhaps one of the most canonical films ever shown at the festival. There was a time when, if you had to list the 10 most important silent films ever made, The Crowd was one of them. It is true that for many years The Crowd was one of the very few silent films that was still in circulation in film clubs and art houses well before the inception of the Silent Film Festival. So that's why we wanted to open this year's festival with this King Vidor masterwork. We will be showing a Theda Bara film called A Fool There Was. The film is canonical for a different reason, because there is a mystique surrounding the figure of Theda Bara, one of the first divas of silent cinema. She was not necessarily a great actress, but it doesn't matter. She was a very iconic figure, and A Fool There Was is regarded as a sort of iconic film in Theda Bara's career. Then, to use another example, there is a Herbert Wilcox film called Dawn. Wilcox is a major figure in British cinema. He is by all means something we would like to call canonical, but he's not appreciated as he should. So in this case, we are looking at the word canonical in a different way. We are asking ourselves the question, why is this filmmaker so relatively neglected today, and why is a film like Dawn not receiving the attention it deserves? Then there is Aelita, the Yakov Protasanov film. Aelita is yet another instance of canonical film. Aelita is what I would call a fashionable canonical film. It's fashionable because it is relatively eccentric as a film. It has a sort of futuristic look in the set design, it is hard to regard it as a great film in the sense that we regard The Crowd as a great film. So we ask ourselves the question, why is Aelita so popular today? Why are younger generations so fascinated by this film? And where does Aelita stand in the creative career of the director? In this sense, the program note written by our colleague Peter Bagrov is illuminating in that it contextualizes the film both within Soviet cinema, the Soviet cinema of the period, and within Protasanov's own career. So as you can see, canon means many different things. It is a concept that has several layers, and each of them deserves to be discussed and deserves to be brought to the attention of our audience.
I completely agree, and there's also an added bonus in watching these films in an actual cinema. I also wanted to bring up another thing, because of course we're here at Le Giornate del Cinema Muto, but you are the senior curator of the Department of Film at the George Eastman House and the director of the Nitrate Picture Show, which I have yet to attend. So last year I interviewed you and I didn't get a chance to ask you about it. What can you say about this festival?
The first, our institution has now changed its name. We are called the George Eastman Museum. It has been a recent change, because we are a museum, and that's why we actually changed our name in the first place. Well, the Nitrate Picture Show is fairly new initiative. It will celebrate next year its fourth anniversary, and it is a very small festival with a very big ambition, if I may say so. First, it is a celebration of nitrate as the medium in which cinema has been shown worldwide until February 1951, at least. Although there are some countries where nitrate prints were shown for a couple of more years. Film archives and museums all over the world have literally hundreds of thousands of copies of nitrate film. These prints have survived the ravages of time. They have often been misused, mistreated, damaged, scratched. Many of them, unfortunately, are decomposing, and they are now mainly used purely for restoration purposes, in that they're being copied onto new film stock, or they are being transferred to digital. But these prints had a life. They were enjoyed by audiences, and some of these prints still are projectable. Because they are original prints, when they are in good condition, they are far better than any other print you can possibly see, simply because they are not duplicates. They are not copies. They are original prints. And once you see a film on nitrate, you may realize that even a film that's familiar to you is something that you have not seen before. I do recall that we inaugurated the festival almost 4 years ago with Casablanca. Now, Casablanca is one of the most famous films ever made. And when we decided not to announce the program in advance, when we decided to keep the program secret up to the last minute, we did it for a reason. I was persuaded that had we announced that one of the films in the festival was going to be Casablanca, many people would have said, why should I come to Rochester to see Casablanca? I have seen this film so many times on film, on digital. I don't need to see it again. So the lights go down, Casablanca appears on screen, and there was a gasp in the audience because the images were so beautiful and they were so different from what people were used to see in Casablanca that for many of them, for those who had seen Casablanca before, it was as if they had seen the film for the first time, because there is a distinctive look in good nitrate prints. They have a glow, they have a sharpness, a definition, a vibrancy that no other print has. Now, the second purpose of the festival derives from the first. The subtitle of the festival is Festival of Film Conservation, and we call this the World's Film Festival of Film Conservation. We are deliberately refraining from using the term film restoration, because this is not what the festival is about. We intend to send a message, to deliver a message with this festival, and the message is very simple. Had we treated all nitrate prints in the same way we have treated the prints that we are now able to project at the Nitrate Picture Show, we would have a very different history of cinema at our disposal. It is only because cinema was mistakenly regarded simply as an art of mechanical reproduction that we have been very careless in handling original prints. The mantra was very simple. We can show films as much as we want, because when a film gets scratched and damaged, don't worry, you can always strike another print. That was a strategic mistake. And history has proven that that's not that easy. Once a print is damaged, it is not that easy to create a new print. And now that film stock is an endangered species, we are realizing the value of a pristine photochemical print. So imagine a situation where all museums and archives in the world had nitrate prints in pristine shape, or for that matter, acetate prints, polyester prints in pristine shape, and we treated these prints as artworks with the same respect with which we treat paintings, sculptures, architectural remains. That's why the festival is called Festival of Film Conservation. The proof of the pudding is come see a nitrate print and you will realize what we have lost, and you will realize how beautiful is what remains at our disposal. There are not that many projectable prints, which is why the festival is only lasting for a long weekend, but it's a very intense festival, and we are pleased to realize that those who come to the Nitrate Film Festival feel that it was worth the effort of coming to Rochester and see these films.
Well, I hope I'll be able to make that effort sometime soon. In the meantime, I thank you very much for joining us and talking with us about it. It was a great pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.